GM and Tech Online, JBA here, and welcome to episode 6 of Diversity and Mentorship in Technology, where we chat with some incredible entrepreneurs and experts about diversity, mentorship, careers, and business in technology each and every week. That's right, 52 times a year, so each week you can come away more enlightened and ready to reach those long sought-after opportunities. Are you an entrepreneur who's trying to grow your business but feel like you can't get to that next level? Well, DMIT, we've started a private community of business owners, revenue generators, and entrepreneurs who are making it happen. Visit revenuethinktank.com and connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs who have built and are running successful businesses and can help you grow yours. Entrepreneurial groups are one of the best ways to get honest and direct feedback for your business, so apply now as there are a limited number of spots available. RevenueThinkTank.com. Before we bring out our guest, we always like to highlight the topic of the week, which we will discuss in detail during the post-show conversation. The topic of the week this week is mentorship in fintech. Now, let's get ready to chat with our featured guest, Kelly Peeler. Kelly, are you ready to have a conversation about diversity and mentorship in technology?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So Kelly is the founder of NextGenVest, the trusted financial partner for Gen Z. NextGenVest has helped thousands of students navigate student loans over text message. Previously, Kelly worked on Wall Street as a financial advisor at JP Morgan. As a student at Harvard, she helped run multiple social enterprises focused on improving student outcomes, including the first accelerator in Iraq. She was named by Fast Company as one of the 100 most creative people in business, named by Goldman Sachs as one of the most 100 most intriguing entrepreneurs, and has been featured on CNN, CNBC, The Today Show, TED, and Forbes. So, Kelly, take a step back, fill in some gaps from that intro, and tell us about growing up and what made you the woman you are today.
Well, I'll keep it short. I've always loved making things. So when I was 11, I started, I guess, my first unofficial business. I would refurbish furniture by dumpster diving and refurbishing, like, basically wooden trash from people, painting it and then reselling it. And that's actually how I helped to pay part of my way through college. So I've always loved going from nothing to an idea to actually executing on that idea. And whether that's either making money or helping other people, I really like building things from the ground up. So did that before I even entered high school, started my first nonprofit in high school, which helped build aid orphanages houses in South Africa. Did that in Harvard, helped build an initial company, and then the Iraq social enterprise that you mentioned before, started a national women in business conference for college women, and then have started NextGenVest. So holistically, I always love making things from the ground up.
Awesome. And dumpster diving, DMIT, you never know what you're going to find. People throw some valuable things away. I found myself some things some people just throw away or give away. So there's a lot of things out there that are valuable. That's awesome. What is your expertise? So what would you consider your expertise at this point in your career?
My expertise, or what I like to call my superpower, we say that everyone on our team has their own superpower, is really building massive student communities that are targeted towards a positive mission. So any of the either for-profit or nonprofit organizations that I've built have all been focused on recruiting, training, and deploying massive student communities and actually understanding what they care about. And I say that that's relevant as it relates to NextGenVest and more holistically financial services, because no one's really focused on building an empathetic product specifically for Gen Z. If anything, people are still confused by millennials, and Gen Z makes up the 70 million people who will be entering the financial system for the first time. So this is primarily teenagers and younger. And that's really my core audience that I love building product for.
Got it. Question. Now, I know some people, millennials, Gen Z, maybe get the terms confused. Could you differentiate to us what the difference is between the millennial or Gen Z, or how are they related?
Yeah, you can, I mean, kind of a back of the envelope way to just think about it is, like, anyone who's in college right now, you know, freshman year, sophomore year of college would qualify as Gen Z. Anyone later, so us, we would be millennials. So in terms of, like, bucketing them, millennials did things like grew up on Facebook. They like convenience. they were the first to really kind of be hugely weighted down by student loans. Compare that to Gen Z, you have a user who grew up on Snapchat, who probably doesn't even have a Facebook account. So they totally communicate in absolutely different ways. They have zero brand loyalty to financial services. They have a totally different debt profile than millennials. And they sort of 10 times require a convenient experience than what, like, you know, a 32-year-old might require in a delightful experience.
Interesting. So we're all about convenience experiences, but I guess it's a little, I'll probably would be a generation millennial, I guess, in this case. And
yes.
Gen yep. Z. Got it. Thanks yep. for the explanation. What I want to do now is kind of look back, and I want you to share with our listeners the biggest challenge or setback you have had to overcome in your life, sort of your darkest moment, so to speak, and don't hold back. What's that for your journey?
I mean, I have to say that I've been lucky enough to be incredibly privileged to live in the United States, to get a great education, to be able to go to Harvard, to have the ability to save money to start my own company. So with that, I have very little to complain about as it relates to, you know, like other people's problems. But for me personally, if I were to pick one thing, maybe just the beginning process of starting an actual company. It's incredibly lonely. You're generally by yourself if you started it by yourself, which I did. And like literally just kind of navigating all the different things that you have to by yourself, and then proactively finding the right people to surround yourself with.
Well, let's take a look at there in terms of, and definitely understand that being an entrepreneur, were there ever, you know, diving deeper into the setbacks, overcoming those at a point of you thought you were going to fail or the business wasn't as successful as you thought, you know, you may have had to pivot or something wasn't going correctly. What was that for you, and how did you kind of tackle that head on?
I mean, that's kind of, it's like a daily experience. So I get 70 no's in a day and will like fight for a yes. And I think for me personally, I'm just comfortable with that. So it's kind of a constant state of failure with moments of forward progress, as opposed to everything's always amazing. So, and I say that because like, even if you have positive trends, like even if you have like up into the right growth curves or whatever it might be, you're always thinking about, okay, how do I make that a steeper growth curve? And how do I get there, as opposed to, you know, like not being able to launch certain cities or whatever it might be. So I would say it's actually like a constant state of failure, but more in the mindset of like, not, it doesn't really affect me in that it might in the same way as other people, because I like the iterative process and I like figuring out how to make something better.
Gotcha. How did you transfer into, or how did you become a fintech entrepreneur, or get into the financial side of the technology side of business?
Outside of starting different sort of student-focused enterprises throughout my broader life, I would say I have a very strong interest in financial services holistically. I was lucky enough to be at Harvard during the last financial crisis in 2008, and was able to study under some very preeminent financial historians, which was just blind luck. And so my major in college was the history of financial crises. So I definitely consider myself to be a student of financial history after studying the past 300 years worth of financial crises, specifically focused on John Pierpont Morgan for my thesis. And so went to go work at JP Morgan and was recruited to work at JP Morgan, specifically to work in the investment bank, and then I switched over into asset management, but had worked with private equity clients who were interested in taking a view on the student loan market. And that's really where I got my hands dirty, understanding how fraudulent and predatory a lot of the federal and private student lending experience can be, especially for low-income students. So Next Invest for me is really the combination or the intersection of my two very different passions. One is applying principles from financial history to the student loan market, and the other is working with the user who would be negatively impacted by the results of the student loan market.
Interesting. I guess it was switch topics for a little bit and kind of move into the topic of mentorship and diversity in fintech, or, you know, financial services and technology. What does that look like today? Or what's your idea of diversity, and how has it come in terms of the progress so far?
I guess I'll take that in two ways. One is on a user first basis. So our, and this is, I think, is a huge opportunity, is I think financial services have traditionally catered to men and older men at that, and of, you know, like a particular type of race or wealth demographic. I think there's huge opportunity to actually target as an end user younger people who may not be initially hugely lucrative, but thinking about a longer term relationship, people who fall into the category of underbanked in terms of socioeconomic background and of different races and sexes. So there's many studies that sort of point to that women are the kind of control family households, and yet like very little marketing or actually like products are built specifically for them. And that even applies more so the younger that you go. So in terms of actually serving a broader customer, that is a huge opportunity to 10 times improve their current experience. I would say taking a diverse perspective on that user is a huge like business opportunity. I would say on the second bucket, in terms of diversity in fintech or, you know, just tech in general, is a team cannot possibly presume to build a product or service that resonates with that diverse audience if you yourselves are not diverse. So if you yourselves are not like different sexes, come from different places, have different worldviews, there's no shot in hell that you would be able to build a product that would serve really authentically and effectively the user that you're trying to serve. So I think they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I obviously been around on the tech side and fintech side, you know, working at a few firms in the past. And one thing I noticed is that diversity means different things to different people. And you're correct. And a lot of times I was talking to another colleague of mine about when I started my company, Smart Money, one of the startups, that my co-founder was sitting right next to me in MBA class. So it was a general tendency to just have the person, your friends in your circle. If you don't outreach and if you don't expand your horizons, you can miss a lot of opportunities. I guess the third, yep, on the employer side, have you seen, and of course, maybe you're speaking to finance more, have you seen diversity on the recruiting side? And I say that because if you look at the general trend historically, it's like you said, been mostly males, and the gender gap is there. So have you seen on the employer side, whether it's corporate or startups, but more corporate side, the shift kind of moving in the right direction, so to speak?
Well, I can only speak to my own experience, but I mean, our company is 50% male, 50% female, and we represent 6 different races and 8 different countries. So in terms of diversity of team, I would say that we're a very diverse team. So I don't see, and I kind of call a little bit of like bullshit on people who are like, oh, pipeline issue or whatever. It's like, no, we're a small early stage company. So we obviously do not have the resources to like pay huge recruiting fees, but, and yet we're able to do that. So I would challenge any large corporation to say, to rethink if you're really blaming these things on a lack of diversity on pipeline issues. I would say that you just need to think more creatively.
Absolutely. And move on to the topic of mentorship. What's one thing that you think companies or some companies like, you know, NextGenVest are doing right in terms of mentorship? And what do you think some areas they're failing students who are coming out of the programs of high school and college?
I mean, mentorship is really the core of our company. So we like to say we're the money mentor for every student. So like even in our tagline, mentorship is at the core focus of what we're doing. And really the reason why is because our core thesis is that people make money decisions or are influenced by people that they trust. And that really kind of plays across history as well. Like even though the medium has changed, right now, you might have an app that you transact on or go online. You know, the concept of a human-to-human interaction has always been rooted in financial services. 60 years ago, you'd go down to the banker, you know, like 10 blocks from you in your town, and that person would look at you and credit risk you. Now we have much smarter tools and mediums to do that, but it's still people make money decisions based on a trusted relationship of people that they know and actually can relate to. And I think that's personally really broken in the financial services, the consumer-facing side of financial services now. And we're really trying to build a financial institution from the ground up with that thesis. And so how does that actually take, you know, like take action across different verticals of what we're doing? One is, we consider ourselves to be a student powered, data powered company. Then what I mean by that is, the crux of our actual service, which is all of our text message, is powering these money mentors who are themselves students. So we train them with our technology. So it is a literal human and it is a literal student who is, the kind of brand that we're conveying to our users is we are your cool older brother, smarter brother or sister who is relatable to you, like might look like you, might study the same thing, might have the same interests. Basically someone who's relatable to you, but has been there before, can speak to the authenticity of like your own experience. But isn't like kind of like in a totally different age demographic or, you know, life experience to you. So that was really important to us. And that was a very firm product view that we took, which is to say, let's create a really interesting human to human experience on a medium that is hyper convenient and then build technology to scale those conversations, which is what we're doing now. So we really sit in like the smart human automation space. And the second is, we kind of like walk the talk of mentorship, I guess I would say, which is to say of people who are highly active users, we recruit them to then be money mentors. For money mentors who are the top ranked money mentors, we will actually hire them to be part of our team full time. So one of the things that, I'm pretty excited about is one of our top performing interns last year, who was a money mentor. He is a first generation college student. He used our service, before and then wanted to come help other students. And, he was the top ranked person in the country. And then he came to me and he said, "Hey, look, Kelly, like I love what NextGenVest is doing so much. I would love to try to reduce my class load and just take one class a semester so I can work full time with you guys because I really want to learn more skills." And I was like, "I love that idea." And so he's working for us full time, but he's also still in college. So he's progressing on his degree. But he's also doing a phenomenal job because he's been with our company now for a year. So, we're actually creating this idea of, kind of like gap year programs, 1 year gap year programs for our top performing, student interns that they can actually come work with us full time for a year, getting them more skills and training so that they can actually increase their employability when they graduate.
Wow, that's amazing. And going to what you said in one of the points about mentorship, I remember when I was in college and I did these tours for students and I was trying to figure out, you know, how they're connecting. And if there's no mentor to give them the guidance in terms of what they want to do as a career, you know, they probably won't head towards that path. I know myself as an entrepreneur, you know, there were a few entrepreneurs in my family. So that path I had to do on my own. If there was, you know, a guider per se or a mentor, that kind of was already an entrepreneur or already a writer, you know, as I kind of moved towards the writing side of things, then it may have helped that. And I think it's great that you're, you know, the people to people relationship that you mentioned, that it's connecting people who are in a similar way or in a similar boat, because that's really how you learn. And a lot of times I've found in my experience when kids grow up, they only see what they see. So if you're, you know, a doctor, lawyer, engineer, and that's all your family is or knows, then if you're trying to venture out to something new, you won't have that outlet unless there's someone there to kind of walk you through what you've, what type of career they've done. And that's similar to what you want to do. So that's really awesome that you're doing that.
Thank you.
So the next question I have is kind of moving on to the what's one message you would like to give entrepreneurs or young people looking to get into financial technology or technology in general?
I guess holistically what I would say is if you're looking to get into it, would be to try to experience as many different companies as possible. And what I mean by that is be very proactive about trying to understand what financial services actually means. A lot of college students, if they haven't done an internship yet, just kind of think of finance as like people in suits who sit in an office and like do business things. So I would say that internships and shadowing people is critical, but you need to take the initiative to to set those up and do those yourself, because finance, as you know, is not, it's like a, you know, incredibly varied, and there's lots of different skill sets required. So it's important to get a holistic view of what's even out there first.
Great advice. Great advice, DMIT. What we're going to do now is stop there and move on to what we call the lightning round with Kelly. And we'll do that right after a word from our sponsors. If you've been listening, you know our site is hosted on wpinterns.com. If you ever wanted to build a website but wasn't sure where to begin, WP Interns can help. Instead of becoming bogged down into the technical details, you can have your website up and running in less than a day. WordPress is the most popular website builder in the world. And with WordPress Interns, you just worry about designing your site all for $5 a month. If you need some help tweaking your designs but don't know HTML or CSS, they have an incredible and affordable amount of designers who can help you build the dream site you always wanted. Sign up today at wpinterns.com. And we're back with DM in Tech with Kelly. Now, for those of you who don't know or not familiar with the lightning round, here's how it's played. We ask our guests a series of 6 questions, of which 5 of those questions must be answered correctly in order to win the prize. Now, our guest will have 90 seconds to answer these questions. 3 general question, 1 true or false, 1 fill in the blank, and then a question from our listeners. This week's surprise question is courtesy of Andrew from New York City. So thanks, Andrew. Kelly, are you ready to play the lightning round?
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. Remember, you'll have 90 seconds, so quick answers are best.
Okay.
Here we go. Number 1, should students start off their career in a startup or go the corporate route?
Corporate route.
What's a company you admire?
Amazon.
What's one piece of tech that you are excited about for the future?
Artificial intelligence.
True or false? As of the Federal Reserve report, August 2017, there are approximately 44.2 million Americans with student loan debt.
Oh, you're asking me. true.
The inventor of the first bank-issued credit card was, fill in the blank.
Bank-issued credit card. Interesting. Bank of America?
Surprise multiple choice question. For single tax earners in 2017, which of these is not a valid tax bracket? 10%, 35%, 24%, or 33%?
24%.
Awesome. So you actually won. You passed it by 1 question, the lightning round. And so what you'll get is to receive a customized backpack with the DMIT logo, so you can carry all your cool tech gear. So congratulations.
Nice.
you did win. But stay right here as we'll have a final word from our sponsors. Want to build a website but not sure where to turn? WP Interns can help. WP Interns is an online platform that allows you to get your website up and running quickly and efficiently using the popular WordPress content management system. No more hassling with plugin security. And in fact, WordPress Interns was built for the non-tech person who wants to get their website up and running quickly. We use the platform here at DM in Tech, and the best part about it, it's only $5 a month. If you need help tweaking your designs, they have incredible and affordable designers who can help you build the dream site you always wanted. Sign up at wpinterns.com. Are you an entrepreneur who's trying to grow your business but feel like you can't get to that next level? Well, DMIT, we've started a private community of business owners, revenue generators, and entrepreneurs who are making it happen. Visit revenuethinktank.com and connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs who are and have built and are running successful businesses and can help you grow yours. Entrepreneurial groups are one of the best ways to get honest and direct feedback on your business. So apply now as there are limited spots available. RevenueThinkTank.com. And we're back. You've been hanging out with JBA and KP in DM in Tech. I always continue the conversation with our guests after the show. So if you want to hear about our behind the scenes discussion with Kelly, stay tuned. Now, Kelly, whenever you're ready, I want to end today on DMIT with a parting piece of guidance you can provide to our listeners, the best way to connect with you, and then we'll say goodbye?
Sure. I'd probably say Twitter. I'm at Kelly Peeler on Twitter. Pretty active on there, or Snapchat, at Kelly Peeler there. We have one of the, our NextGenVest Snapchat at NextGenVest is one of the faster growing Snapchat channels for students.
Cool. And then what's one piece of guidance you can provide to our listeners?
I would say that diversity will help you build a better product.
Awesome. And we'll leave it there. Short and sweet. We like it. So Kelly, I want to thank you again for coming on the show, providing us tremendous value to our listeners, and we'll chat on the post discussion. Want to know how to get your amazing e-commerce store up and running, but don't know how to hire the right people or where to find them? Well, DMIT, you can take my online course, Building Your Website, where we take a look at the steps needed to build your own website and succeed online. Our team discusses what we did right and mistakes along the way that you can help avoid. We also share some amazing resources that will help you on your journey to starting your own online store. If you want to hear more from Kelly as we dive into the topic of the week with our post show and commentary, then click on the Give Me Premium Access button on the top right of the website at dmintech.com. As a subscriber, you'll be able to access exclusive bonus content in our archived catalog of episodes. And don't forget our wonderful sponsor, wpinterns.com. Until next time, I want to thank our guest Kelly for coming on the show. And for those of you listening, stay unique, stay diverse.